Today we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Vav Amud Aleph. We left off on the bottom of Hamud Beis, toward the end of the page, on Daf Hamud Beis, right after the phrase Shiurin Chatzitzin Umechitzin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So we're at about 5 lines from the end of the page, where the Gemara is about to ask Shiurin Doraisaninu, meaning what we left off saying was that we were trying to find the source for the idea that the minimum size of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So the third suggestion of what the source for that idea is that it can't be derived from any pasuk, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. And the Gemara said, to prove that point, that it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that shiurin, chatzitzin, mechitzin are all halacha l'moshe misinai. So you see that the dinim of mechitza are halacha l'moshe misinai. And therefore included in that is the fact that a mechitza of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara is going to begin to question each of those ideas. The idea that shiurin are halacha l'moshe misinai, the idea that mechitzin are, that chatzitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai, and the idea that mechitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai. We start with shiurin, though. So says the Gemara, shiurin d'oraisa ninu. What are you talking about that shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai? Shiurim are d'oraisa, we're able to learn them from a pasuk in the Torah, d'chsiv, because the pasuk says in describing the great praise of Eretz Yisrael that it is an Eretz, chito, sa'ora, v'gef, and tein of rimon, Eretz is shemen ud Vash. Va'am Rav Chanan tells us that kol pasuk hazeh l'shiurin nemar. Each phrase, each word in that pasuk is not only identifying a different fruit by which Eretz Yisrael is known, and that Eretz Yisrael produces very beautifully, but each one refers to a different shear in halacha, and we're going to elaborate on each one. Chita, what is the shear that the Torah is referring to when it refers to Eretz Yisrael as a place of chita? L'bayis ha-menuga, that the halacha of a bayis ha-menuga, the house that has tzara'as, which is again one of those halachos that may never have happened, a house that has tzara'as, according to the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. But the halacha is that if one enters a house that has tzara'as, one becomes tameh. So there's a minimum amount of time that one has to be in the house in order to become tameh. What is that amount of time? So the Gemara says, "Ditnan hanichnas l'bayis hamenuga v'kelev al kseifav." If a person enters a house that has tzara'as and he's holding his clothing on his shoulders, meaning he's not wearing his clothing, he's carrying his clothing, v'sandalav v'taba'os of biyado, he's holding his shoes, he's holding his rings, so he's not actually wearing them. So who v'hein tamei miyad? He and his clothing and his shoes and his rings are tamei right away. Even if he didn't wait for any period of time, he immediately becomes tamei. But a person walks into a house that has tzara'as and he's wearing his clothing, he's wearing his shoes, he's wearing his rings, then who tamei miyad? The person himself is going to become tamei right away, even if he doesn't spend any amount of time in the house. Vehein tahorim, but his clothing, his shoes, his rings are all going to be tahor unless he spends some amount of time in the house. How much time? Ad sheyisha b'kdei achilas pras, pas chitin velo pas saorin. He would have to wait stay in the house long enough for the amount of time that it takes to eat a half of a loaf of bread that's specifically wheat bread and not barley bread. So there's a shear, an amount of time that relates directly to wheat, and that shear is derived from the fact that the pasuk uses the term chita. And not only that, but once the Gemara mentions that, we also mention that that shear of the amount of time it takes to eat the wheat bread is mesav v'ochel b'liftan, that he's eating it would be the amount of time to eat that bread in a way where people used to eat, leaning, sitting nicely and not in a rushed way. And also the shir achila would also be mentioned, would also be measured by the way bread would normally be eaten, which is something that we call that's melafes esapas, something that goes along with the bread. So you wouldn't measure the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras of bread by how quickly you can scarf down a pas of bread. No, it's how a person eats it at a meal, where he's leaning, where he's koveya himself, he's eating other things along with it. But be that as it may, that's just a side point. The main point is that from the word chita we see a shear, and then the second word in that pasuk that teaches us a different shear, sa'ora. The pasuk says sa'ora. What do we learn? What shear relates to barley? Detnan etzem kasa'ora matam b'maga veina matam ba'oel. The halach is if you have a bone the size of a sa'ora of a dead body, it's metame a person by touching it, but it's not metame a person if the person just carries it with. I'm sorry, it's also metame a person by carrying it, but it's not metame a person by ohel. And that's some ksor is metame bimago ubimaso. If you touch it or carry it, how do you carry something without touching it? You carry it in a bag. So if a person carries it or touches it, he becomes tame, but it's not metame by ohel. So that's another shear. A shear of a size of a bone that's able to be metame bimago maso, but not by ohel, is based on the word Sa'ora in the Torah. So it's another shear that's in the Torah. And then the third one, Gefen. When the Torah uses the word Gefen, that teaches us Kedei Revius Yayin LeNazir, that if a person who decides to become a Nazir, he's not allowed to drink a Revius of wine or to eat a certain amount of grape products that equals up the shear of a revius. And even though revius is a liquid measurement and not a dry measurement, Chazal tell us that even if he's eating grape products, we would measure a revius for the Isser. You would have to do water displacement to measure how many raisins are a revius of raisins, but that's how we measure it based on a revius. And we learned that from Geffen. And then a fourth halacha of shiurim that's derived from a word in the Torah, te'ena. What do we learn from te'ena? Figs, krogogeres, lotzos haShabbos. That when it comes to the isser of carrying on Shabbos, person is only chayiv for carrying if he carries a substantial amount of something. If he carries something totally insignificant, it's not called carrying on Shabbos. So what's a substantial amount? Well, the Gemara on Shabbos talks about it. It depends what exactly you're carrying. But when it comes to food, what's considered a reasonable amount of food that's considered a real act of carrying is something the size of a fig. So that's derived from a word in the Torah, not from halacha l'moshe b'sinai, the word te'ena. Then the pasuk continues, a fifth halacha, a fifth shir, rimon. What do we learn from there? Ditan, kol klei balibatim shiran kirimonim. If you have a person who owns kelim and you want to know if those kelim are still usable, who cares if they're still usable? Well, if they're still usable, they're still considered kelim and they can still be mekabel tuma. So sometimes, you know, a person has a kelim that are not in mint condition, but he'll continue to use them. At what point do we assume that a person would no longer use his kelim if they have holes in them the size of rimonim? If they have smaller holes in them, so he just won't use them for smaller fruits, he'll use them for bigger fruits. But once the holes are the size of a rimon, then it's already not mekabel tuma. So that's the shear that we derive from the word rimon. Now, it specifically refers to clay bale batim, because if you're not a bale batim, if you're a store owner and you're selling kelim, then you wouldn't sell it even if it had a little nick, even if it had a little scratch, even if it had a little crack in it, you wouldn't sell it. But for clay bale batim, the shear is kerimonim. And then the sixth shear in the pasuk, eretz zeis shemen, refers to olive oil. Eretz shekol shiureha kizesim. All other shiurim are kizayis. All other shiurim that we didn't mention explicitly. Says Mar, kol shiureha sal kedaitach. Every other shiur is a kizayis. Ha'ika hani damrin. What do you mean every shiur is a kizayis? We have all of the shiurim that we just mentioned that are measured by wheat and barley and grapes and figs and pomegranates. Now elema sharov shiureha kizesim. What it means is that the majority of the shiurim are a kizayis. Meaning you want to know what the shiur of nevela is, what the shiur of chelev is, or dam, or pigul, or nosa, or tam. You know, chazer, what the shear of all those things are, for the most part, the typical shear is a kazayas. And then the final item mentioned in the pasuk that also alludes to a shear is dvash, or refers to honey. Now, we're used to thinking of honey as bee honey, but Chazal, when they refer to honey, or the Torah, I should say, when it refers to honey, you know, it refers to Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Zavas Chalav Dvash. It's not talking about bee honey. It's talking about date honey. So what shear do we get from dates? Kikoseves Hagasa B'Yom HaKippurim. The shear for which one is chayiv for eating on Yom Kippur, one is chayiv kares for eating on Yom Kippur, is if you Yir, Koseves Hagasa, a large date. That's the shear for Yom Kippur. Now, certainly eating even less than that in Yom Kippur is Nisa Darais. A lot of times people don't realize that. They make a mistake. They think, oh, if you're not feeling so well, you have a headache or something, so you can have less than a shear of food on Yom Kippur. That is absolutely not true. A person may not put a morsel of food in their mouth on Yom Kippur unless they are defined as a cholesh yesh bo sakana, someone who is dangerously ill, because eating food is considered an isur d'oraisa on Yom HaKippurim, even if it's less than the shear. It's just that the onesh only comes when a person eats the size of a koseves hagasa. But bottom line is, alma d'oraisa ninu. What we see from this pasuk is that all seven items mentioned in the pasuk refer to a shear. So all of these shiurim are from the Torah. How can you say that shiurim are only halacha l'moshe m'sinai? So the Gemara answers, no, v'tizbra shiurim miksivi. Come on, if you read that pasuk a million times, would you have ever imagined that that pasuk is referring to those seven shiurim? The pasuk doesn't really. The pasuk just mentions seven fruits. All of these shiurim are actually halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Ukras machta bi'almahu. The pasuk happens to serve as a good way to remember these seven shiurim. But these seven shiurim are not actually derived from the pasuk in the Torah. That's at least one way of understanding asmachta bi'almah. That it's just a mnemonic, an easy way to remember. It's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ritva how to understand asmachta. But either way, it's not viewed as a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'rabbanan, and the pasuk just aids us in that din d'rabbanan. So then the Gemara says, okay, good, that's as far as shiurim are concerned. But you also said, chatzitzin are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So ask the Gemara, chatzitzin d'oraisa ninu. How could you say chatzitzin are halacha l'moshe m'sinai? The idea that if a person goes to the mikvah with a chatzitza on them, with something in between their skin and the water, that it's going to be an interposition and then the tevila is not going to work, that's also din d'oraisa. D'chsiv v'rachatz b'mayim, shelo yedavar chatzitz b'no levin amayim. We derive from the pasuk v'rachatz b'sara b'mayim that a person cannot have anything interposing between his body and the water. So that's directly from a pasuk. So says Gemara, you're right, the basic idea is from a pasuk, kiasai hilchasa l'sa'aro. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells us that there's even a problem of chatzitza on a person's hair, not just on their flesh. Even if a hair is knotted, a single hair is knotted, that's a chatzitza. Shalosh ein chotzos. If you have three hairs that are sort of tangled together, they're not a chatzitza because we assume the tangling is not so tight, water will be able to get in between them. But shtayim ein yodeh. If it's two hairs, so we're not sure if that's considered tight enough to stop the water from going through it. So we do have a din of chatzitza that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, chatzitza when it comes to hair. Frak the Gemara, sa'aronami d'oraisa nehu. No, even chatzitza when it comes to hair is a din d'oraisa. D'chsev v'rachatz es b'saro b'mayim. It doesn't just say v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim, it says es b'saro. And we darshan es hatafel b'saro. The word S comes to teach us even that which is secondary to one's flesh also needs to have a bias mayimihu. And what is tafel to one's flesh? Saro, it is his hair. So you see directly from the pasuk that you can't have a chatzitza on hair either. So how can you say that chatzitza salach l'moshe m'sinai, chatzitza of basar is directly alluded to in the pasuk, chatzitza of hair is hinted to in the pasuk with the word S? So all of it comes from a pasuk. So says you're right that the general notion of chatzitza, both on the body and on the hair, is d'oraisa. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai comes to teach us some details of the rules of chatzitza, namely the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Dvar Torah Rubo Makbid Alav Chotzeitz. On a d'oraisa level, the only chatzitza that's going to be a problem is if it covers the majority of one's body and you're makbid on it. You don't want it to be there. But if it covers the majority of your body, but you're not makbid on it, or the other way around, then it's not a chatzitza midaraisa. But v'gazru al rubo she'eno makbid mishum rubo amakbid. Chazal made a gzeira that if it covers the majority of your body, even if you're not makbid about it being there, you don't mind it being there, that that's going to be a chatzitza too, lest you come to be makel with rubo hamakbid. And not only that, the almiuto amakvid mishumruba amakvid. They were also made a gzeira that you can't even have something, and this is the most common kind of chatzitza, something on a tiny part of your body, but you wouldn't want it there. You're makvid about it. There goes with that, because if we come to allow that, then we'll come to allow a real chatzitza daraisa, that's rubo umakvid. Frek the Gemara, Ligzer Nami, Al Miuto Sheina Makbid, Mishum Miuto Amakbid. Why didn't they make a gzeira even on a chatzitza that's on a tiny part of your body and you're not Makbid about it, lest you come to allow a chatzitza that's on a tiny part of your body that you are Makbid about? Inami Mishum Rubo Sheina Makbid, or lest you come to allow a chatzitza that's on the majority of your body that you're not Makbid about? So says Gemara, why would we do that? Higufa gzeira. Na nekum nigzer gzeira le gzeira. That's already just a gzeira. The idea that rubo she'eno makbid or miut hamakbid, those themselves are only dinim drabanan. So it doesn't make sense to make an additional din drabanan for a miut she'eno makbid, lest you come to violate one of the other dinim drabanan. So we just keep it as that. You know, practically speaking, as far as chatzitza is concerned, we almost never have a real chatzitza daraisa. Like a real chatzitza daraisa, a person would have to go into the mikveh wearing like full scuba gear to be a real chatzitza daraisa, or right after like a mud bath or something. It would have to cover the majority of the body, and it has to be something that they don't normally want there. Even the chatzitza drabanan, something that covers the majority of one's body, but a person doesn't mind having it there, doesn't ever mind having it there, that's very, very uncommon. Because what would be an example of that? What covers the majority of a human body that you don't ever mind having it there? That's very uncommon. By tefillas kelim, you might have such things sometimes, but you never have such a thing by tevila of a person. Even I once thought I had such a shayla. A person got a spray tan. So if it's not washed, the body's not washed, and the tan is on the surface of the skin, so they want it there. They always want to look tan, but it covers the majority of the body, so I thought that might be a shayla. But as soon as a person takes a shower, whatever's on the surface of the skin is gone, and the rest of the tan is actually part of your body, so it's not, even that wouldn't be. The most common kind of chatzitza that's actually a problem is a miut hamakbid. A person has nail polish on one of their 10 fingers, so they would be very humiliated if they realized that they were walking around all day like that. So certainly makbid not to have it there. Or a ring on a finger. Normally you would take it off to, the Shulchan Aruch says, to knead dough or to take a shower or something. But it's only on the minority of the body, but you're makbid about it. So those are the most common examples of chatzitza. But let's do two main points over here. Main point number one is that even though we have a pasuk that identifies many, many shiurim in the Torah, that pasuk's only in asmachta, and all shiurim are halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And main point number two, to summarize the second half of what we just learned, even though the din of chatzitza on your body and your hair is daraisa, how much is considered a chatzitza, the exact details of what's considered a chatzitza, that only rubo hamakbid is considered a chatzitza, is a halach l'moshe m'sinai. It's a din daraisa, but it's a halach l'moshe m'sinai. That's not hinted to anywhere in the pasuk. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll get into questioning mechitzin, because that's really our primary topic over here. Mechitzin being halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we're going to question that as well, Be'ez Hashem, next time when we do davav amid beis.